Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I'm excited for this next conversation, and it really is a digging into the wealth and wisdom of an agency that plays a critical role in making sure that we, the youth... Yes, I said it. We, the youth, are acknowledged and recognized in terms of our nuances and experiences and how it is that we typically impact businesses and brands. Tonight, joined by a phenomenal leader within the creative space, that is Lesego Kotane, who's the Managing Director for Yellowwood and TBWA Group Strategy Officer, joining us in studio tonight. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me, Gugu, and good evening to you and your listeners.
I'm excited for this conversation, and we've been following your journey, so congratulations again within this new role, 6 months in. Yeah. And it's exciting to see that you and the team have been driving and continuing with such amazing work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's great to be part of the team and to have joined such an incredible brand. This report is an incredible sort of part of our assets, of our business. We've been doing it for the last sort of 20 years. This is the 20th year of the Gen Next survey. So I think a critical conversation, and a critical sort of outlook to sort of know how youth are thinking and feeling.
Exactly. Well, as we continue, we really just want to find out some of the detail in terms of how the report is actually compiled. For those who aren't aware, this is the Gen Next 2024 Youth Behavior Report, which really displays a lot of our attitudes, our habits as youth, and how that actually shifts and shapes the narrative. So let's get the stats out of the way: who we spoke to, how long we spoke to them for, how we collated the data, and most importantly, why this information is important.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a study that runs sort of throughout the first half of the year. We look at over 7,000 respondents across the country between the ages of 8 and 30. So, kind of getting into schools with tweens and teens, young adults, and early teenagers, and young professionals. And so, and the idea is around really trying to understand what their attitudes are, what their outlooks are, kind of relationship with critical things like technology, like institutions, their views on community, their views on brands. So I think it's a great litmus test, just to see how young people are thinking, mm-hmm. where they're at, and sort of how they're feeling about the country and opportunities.
Yeah.
So that's just in terms of the methodology, working with research partners, and we kind of dig into the data afterwards to collate the findings.
And you really make this really easy to understand, right? Because the report really looks at, how do we define cool?
Yeah.
And as we all know, cool is something that speaks to us. It's something we can relate to. It's part of a culture that actually drives that narrative. And that also gives us an understanding of what's next within the culture. And you do highlight that we have significant youth groups. Hey, I said I'm a youth. Hey, Gen Y, Gen Z, and Gen A. Gen Alpha is very interesting. That's between the year 2011 and 2016.
Yeah. So it's a wide spectrum of sort of the youth segments. And to the point that you raised about cool, it's an important one for us. And I think something that we wanted to understand a bit better this year, because if some of your listeners may or may not know, but part of the report is the cool brands brand preference survey, where we go and we ask them which brands are the coolest among a number of categories, over 70 categories. And I think the one question that we wanted to ask ourselves this year was, what is that actually? Sort of how do you move between cool just being something that street lingo that young people talk about, but make it make sense for brands and businesses. So I think we wanted to try and get under the skin a little bit of that, in terms of saying, what does make a brand cool?
Exactly.
And turn that into attributes that we could then be able to talk to businesses and institutions about.
Cool, dope, sick. I'm trying to think of all the other
all
synonyms,
the
right? And the lingo, just to show and prove that I am a youth. Let's get into some of those outcomes, because your report has amazing findings in terms of the detail and cool brands. And maybe redefine for us what are some of the attributes of cool brands, and maybe we can go into some of the subcategories when it comes to clothing brands, beverages, and as the youth think
as
is cool.
The youth think are cool. So, I mean, just in terms of we were able to build out a number of attributes that sort of define what cool is. The top ones, though, so if I think of the top five, it's quality, affordability, trustworthiness, customer care, and good branding and marketing. So those were kind of the top five ones that came through in terms of the reports. And I think what's cool about that, what's cool about that is that it's practical language. You know, when marketers are building attributes, when brands are kind of being built, and in terms of what they want to be known for and what they want to stand for in the market, that's things that businesses can use. You know, some brands are built around quality. Some brands are built around kind of customer care and service proposition. Some brands are built around a kind of a value play. So that becomes an immediate connection where you can go, that's how I can make sense of cool. That's what young people are looking for. How do I then tailor that in accordance to my strategies when I'm looking to engage with them, when I'm looking to have conversations with them, when I'm looking to reach out to them? So that's kind of what gave a little bit more texture in terms of that title, you know.
And I think that's so refreshing, right? Because when we do think of, you know, it goes beyond just, you know, the colors, the logo, and, you know, what we typically think is just it is part of the creative aspect of it, or the aesthetics, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But it really
yeah.
speaks to an experience of a brand that we have.
Absolutely.
And I found that so intriguing because it actually does speak to some of the top cool brands that are typically featured here. And maybe we can talk about banking, since this is a business show. Capitec comes top over the last 3 years for this report, 2024, 2023, and 2022.
Mm.
What makes them cool?
Yeah, I think Capitec's a great brand, I think, with a great story. I mean, I think if you consider sort of they came into the market with a really strong innovation and kind of value play. You know, making banking easily accessible, you know, being quite targeted in terms of their efforts. So I think that proposition really resonated and responded well in the market. They've also been very intentional the last couple of years with driving a lot of youth-related engagement in terms of some of their initiatives. And the events and sponsorship programs that they get involved in. So I think a lot of visibility, so, you know, to that point around, you know, for me, they probably hit a couple of those, you know, from a good branding and marketing and visibility perspective, an affordability sort of value proposition, you know, which is the second ranked one. So I think they're hitting some of those points really nicely and really well.
100%.
And I think a brand that's also sort of quite active in the social media space. You know, I think it's one of those South African brands for me that you know, people engage with in the digital and social space.
100%.
You know, and this kind of conversation that happens around it. You know,
they also happen to be the main sponsor of Kaya Biz. So,
well,
hey,
there you go.
Right? I don't know what that tells you, but hey, we're cool.
Must have something to do with it.
Coupled with the Kaya 959 having a business show, we also listen to a lot of music here on the station. And music streaming caught my attention because I used to think it actually depends on the kind of device you have. But recently I found that a few friends of mine, you know, dabble between various music apps, and specifically Spotify, as well as Apple and iTunes.
Yes.
And it looks like Spotify won first point charge, I guess, in 2022. Then that was overtaken by iTunes in 2023. Spotify said, I'm coming back, right, in 2024. Help us understand, because we have so many options when it comes to music. You know, before it was radio and maybe music television stations.
Yeah.
But there's YouTube, there's streaming, and there's other avenues. So what makes these cool streaming platforms exist?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot of options and there's a lot of ways in. I mean, you know, it's you know, if you had to consider another brand as well, if I think about sort of YouTube, what people would think about YouTube as a sort of a content, a video content brand, it's also significantly, it's a player in the music space. So lots of competition, I think, that's blown up in there. Lots of brands that have needed to think through ways of access. I think the game really changed for Spotify when they introduced the entry level offering, you know, the kind of the one without ad, the one where you could listen with ads. So I think because that opened it right up, you know, and I think where they're really strong in terms of personalization, you know, the more you use it, the better it understands you, the better it kind of then recommends around you. They've been doing for the last couple of years this really interesting kind of December campaign of theirs, which is Spotify Wrapped, which is like your year in music.
Yes.
You know? So I think those are also really nice and interesting ways to drive engagement, to kind of drive reasons to engage.
It does.
And sort of,
and it's personalized, right?
And it's personalized.
Exactly. You know, which speaks to the customer care.
And I think that, you know, the more brands sort of go into e-commerce, the more brands go into the sort of digital play, I think the role of personalization, you know, is gonna be ever more important. So I think they do that really well.
100%.
Spotify, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other categories that you have. Beverages, clothing.
Beverages, and clothing, auto.
Yes.
And BMW took top car brand this year. Again, they've been doing some really interesting things, really interesting collaborations. I think we're really active around some of their marketing activity, around positioning themselves for kind of next generation. excuse me. We've had brands, and then there's your stalwarts, Nike as a top brand.
Yes.
Avon kind of also came up in the sort of beauty.
That one intriguing.
Yeah. So I think and again, if you think about how they're getting into the streets, getting into the market, their ambassador program, so they're getting into the ground, they're getting into the streets, they're engaging. That type of visibility does matter.
100%. There's another category that I want us to go to in just a moment, which is coolest clothing store, because as you mentioned, we spoke about the brands, but I think there's an interesting dynamic in terms of the online clothing retailers and Shein popping up on the list.
Yes.
We do have to go to ads very briefly, but stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to continue our critical conversation tonight with Lesego Kotane, joining us to help us unpack a lot more about the Gen Next 2024 Youth Behavior Report, helping us understand what we, as the youth, think and make of some of the coolest brands. We are having a phenomenal conversation evaluating what are South Africa's coolest brands according to us, the youth. Yes, I say it deliberately and proudly, maybe even forcibly, but here we are nonetheless. We're taking a look at the Gen Next 2024 Youth Behavior Report. Now, this is a phenomenal research that we're deep diving into with the Managing Director for Yellowwood and TBWA Group Strategy Officer, Lesego Kotane, is joining us in studio to help us unpack so much more about this report and the insights. If you missed the first half of our conversation, it really makes sure that we get some detail from the following generations, Gen Y, Gen Z, and Gen A, all critical generations, essentially to give you a wide scope, think 1981 up to 2016. So there's a few of us in there, right, that actually might fall into this mold, but really still focused on more youthful part of the population. And this is what we're using to help unpack what defines a cool brand, how these brands have come to the fore, how many of them have performed in the last few years. And of course, we'll tap into the key takeaways as to why this matters, because it does inform how brands then communicate with the youth, which continues to be a critical force in terms of spending power or influencing spending decisions in South Africa. Lesego, before the ad break, I was so keen and interested to take a look at the coolest clothing stores. And as you've mentioned, Nike takes number one spot in 2024. In the previous 2 years, Mr. Price featured significantly. There is one brand and company that has literally come out of nowhere. It didn't feature in 2023, didn't feature in 2022, Shein.
Yeah.
As we know, the online clothing retailer from China. Talk to us about this, because this is a shift in the dynamic, really, that you know, I guess is redefining cool and redefining clothing.
Yeah, it's a huge shift. And I think it also sort of took us by surprise, just sort of considering that it's a brand that just arrived one day.
Literally.
And if you kind of think about all the sort of conventional ways of building brand, it's a digital proposition. It's an e-commerce and social commerce play. No retail footprint.
Yeah.
But the sort of the way that they've organized themselves and what they do in terms of clothing at a really, really, really affordable price, and then a lot of just ways in from specials and deals and promos and so I think it's just really captured the market's imagination.
Mm.
And I think if you also consider the fact that retail generally in South Africa is obviously a big. Sort of category and industry, but we are young people, and if you just think about the kind of economic challenges, cost of living, employment, or unemployment rather, dare I say, these are all very real challenges. So I think for me, this is a brand that had came in and it just really hit value, it hit affordability, it hit access, it hit ease, and it made people, it kind of was able to let people get in. Where perhaps, you go, I've only got $500. How far is that going to take me if I have to catch a cab to Sandton?
Right.
And then I have to, and walk into some of these stores. So I just think the space that it occupied and kind of using technology and sort of digital commerce to drive that is really compelling.
Definitely. I think it's so practical because I sit here as a youth, but also a cool aunt. And my niece is 20 now. And when I look at some of the stores that feature on this list, it actually speaks to her spending behavior. That there's certain stores she's like, oh, that's cool, but it's too expensive.
Yes.
I can find it cheaper at Shein.
Correct.
At Shein or another online retailer. And,
correct, yeah.
And it's becoming so practical. And I think this is wonderful because this report not only gives us an insight into the behaviors of the youth that many of us can actually witness and can reference, but for business leaders, it also gives you a different understanding of how you need to speak to a portion of the population that influences so much spending power.
Yes,
so
correct.
What does that mean if I'm an entrepreneur running a business that wants to target the youth? If I'm a banker trying to attract the youth? If I am selling clothing and fashion or have an eatery and a restaurant and I want to target the youth?
Yeah.
How do I use the insights from this report to influence my business strategy?
Right. It's a great question. I think for me there's two components. Well, I mean, before I even get into that, I think just to maybe set a broader context, South Africa's, we're our kind of median age is 28. So, over 60% of our country is...
So when you put it into that context...
you could, I guess, broadly categorize as youth,
Yeah.
And yes, whilst there, it also covers a wide spectrum in terms of kind of 8 to 30. So for me, yes, whilst, we often think about youth as young people, a lot of it is also around attitude, outlook, and sort of way of thinking. So broadly speaking, you go, we are a young nation. There are brands and businesses that actively target and have got youth propositions. And then for me, and so it's important to kind of know what are young people thinking about, what matters to them, what are the kind of leading indicators that we as a business need to be thinking about if we're building youth propositions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one for me is just around going, if you consider future demand and if you consider that, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old might not be in your sort of target range now, but in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years,
right.
They will be, so what does that mean?
15-year-old can't buy a car, but they will in 10 years'
correct,
time.
Correct, correct. So what does that just mean in terms of building future demand and how your brand shows up in their world and how your brand, and also just understanding the kind of peer-to-peer influence and the social circle influence and kind of... who young people are affected and influenced by,
Exactly.
So I think just understanding some of those dynamics would be important for me,
And I think this is so important to underscore. You mentioned it very briefly, but it does highlight the important role that the youth plays. Oftentimes we tend to just scoff it to the side and say, well, we have a high youth unemployment rate, justifiably so if we look at the stats. And it is a concern that we continue to see business and government collaborate on to create new jobs. But how else should we be reading this to make sure that we don't just say, oh, well, the youth doesn't matter.
Write them off.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think, some of the things that really excited us and energized us in our findings this year is, the youth still have a really positive, optimistic outlook towards their future.
Yeah.
I think for me, what it speaks to is a sense of agency, a sense of going, whilst things might not be working out, and there's a lot of, at an institutional level, things that I expect to be happening that aren't happening and that aren't working in my favor, what am I going to do about it? And so I think having a sense of resilience, having a sense of how do I affect a positive outcome and a positive future for myself, I think that's just really important, to really understand just that, there is still a sense of self-belief, there is still a sense of resilience and optimism around kind of their future, and I think we would write them off at our peril, I suppose.
Oh, 100%.
So I think that for me is critical. And the other thing is, something that really took us by surprise, but in a positive way, is the when it came to politics. Now, historically, quite a lot of ambivalence, kind of disregard. We know around sort of issues around youth apathy, but we saw some positive kind of increases this year, just in terms of a positive outlook to the political situation. Now, broadly speaking, I guess it was an election year. You had a bunch of young people coming into the system and coming into to vote.
Yes.
So I think the year in and of itself, and I think you saw young people going, we want to be part of a change. We want things have to turn around and be different. So again, they become critical voices, even at levels like that.
100%. I must tell you, this shifts the dynamic next time we speak to some of the executives from some of these businesses. I do see there's a special mention of the likes of Adidas, Dove, Mr. Price, Mercedes-Benz. That other radio station there in Auckland Park, KFC and Sandton City, that have been prominent features on this list. So it really gives us a very refreshing perspective. So moving into 2025, and as you've mentioned, key themes that we need to bear in mind, and maybe even a message to the youth themselves. You know, how should we continue to play a role in shifting society?
Look, I think the for me, you know, brands, businesses, institutions, play an incredible role in terms of being able to empower, being able to create access, being able to create opportunity, being able to create spaces, you know. So if you think even about like initiatives like Yes for Youth, you know, something like that, you know, like an idea like that for me, which was around how do we create opportunities, how do we create spaces for young people to get into the corporate world, you know. Things like mentoring and kind of cross collaboration, bringing youth in to hear their voices and to hear their perspectives. They've got ideas. You know, they've got thoughts. They've got a worldview. They've got a perspective.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I think it's just about bringing it into the room. It's about having a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know, that just got us. Let's hear at a kind of intergenerational level.
Yeah.
What the future of our country is thinking about. You know, how they're thinking about it, and the difference that we as businesses and brands and public institutions can make
100%. I am so invigorated by this conversation, and it's just planted a seed in my mind as I, you know, connect the dots around the coolest brands and what we're seeing in terms of our youth trends in South Africa. Of course, TBWA is a global agency with international clients. You know, there's this dynamic of how digital media or social media has also democratized access to information. So we're globally competitive, but we also need to make sure that we're locally relevant.
Locally relevant, yeah.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about that a lot of the time as an agency.
Yeah.
Even for ourselves, how do we compete globally and remain competitive globally, but actually be locally relevant? You know, and I think local relevance, I think, will never go away. You know, playing in culture. Understanding how to resonate within culture. I think those are fundamentals in terms of really great brand building across the board. So I think it's an important thing for us, and it's an important driver for us. And, you know, we want to help bring kind of brands and businesses closer to the culture.
100%. Yeah. Hopefully, Kaya will feature in the top spot next year, right?
I have no doubt. We'll add best business show. How about that?
Boom! There we go. Oh,
coolest business show.
Lesuga, thank you so much. Like, literally, that would make a heart smile. So definitely, on you holding it.
If you missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.